Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Tomorrow is the day. The Women's Initiative annual crowdfunding campaign begins Tuesday, July 22nd, and we are reaching for 100% participation from our global community. If this learning is part of your day, this is your moment to help sustain it. Every gift matters. Every listener counts. Visit ouwomen.org/elevatenachyomi and get ready to elevate our impact together.
Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Rechana Lalcha, and today we're going to be studying Mishlei Perek Zayin. If I had to give a title to Perek Zayin, I'd call it The Anatomy of a Sin. How do we end up so far from ourselves and our intentions and our conscience? What's the process? We're all so familiar with the feeling of, how did I get here? How did I end up this way? And this parak is a description of how one ends up that way. And it's presented in the form of a story that a man is telling his son. And in a similar way to parak Hay, it's a story about a time that he watched somebody be seduced by a married woman. So let's read inside from Pasuk Aleph. Bni, shmar amaroi umitzvosei titzponi toch. My son, keep my words and store my commandments with you. Shmar mitzvosai v'chayei, v'sayrosi ki'ishoni necho. Observe my commandments and live, and guard my Torah like the apple of your eye. Kashreim al etzba'isecho, kosveim al luach libecho. Bind them on your fingers, inscribe them upon the tablet of your heart. Emor lachachma achoy si'at umayda labinat zikra. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and have an unbreakable relationship with wisdom like a sister, and call understanding an intimate friend. And all this is an introduction. All this is for the purpose of Vishmarcha me isha zara, minachria amoreha hechelika. So that this Torah and this wisdom, so that it protects you from a strange woman, from a foreign woman who makes her words smooth. This seductive woman is the symbol of temptation. And she's also a woman who's forbidden to you, because as the story develops, we're going to realize that she's actually a married woman. She's an adulteress. So let's read the psukim from Pasuk Vav onwards with translation from Harav Stein Zaltz and discuss some key points. Because I looked through the window of my house, through my lattice, and I saw among the naive, and I discerned amongst the youths, I saw a lad who was lacking heart. I saw someone who wasn't particularly perceptive, and who doesn't think things through properly. I observed someone, who passes in the street near her corner, he passes where the strange woman sits, and on the way to her house he treads. B'neshef, b'erev yom, b'ishoin laila v'afela. And this all takes place in the twilight, in the evening of the day, in the dead of night of blackness. He's going towards a house. V'hine, and behold, isha likrasai, a woman appears and she's there to meet him. Shis zayna unsuras lev, and she's dressed like a harlot, and she's set of heart. She has no doubt, no conscience. She knows what she wants, and she knows that she wants to entrap this man. She's turbulent and rebellious. Her feet don't dwell in her house. She's constantly venturing outside. She lurks at every corner. She's seeking adventure everywhere. And what does she do? She seizes this naive youth, and she kissed him. She was brazen, and she shamelessly said to him, Zivchei shlomim alai, I brought a peace offering. Hayom shilamti nadarei, today I paid my vows. And what she's saying is, my house is full of good food. A shlomim is a sacrifice that's partially eaten by the person who brings the sacrifice. So I have all this meat in my house from the shlomim sacrifice. I have lots of good food. Al kein yotzasi likrasecho, therefore I came out to meet you. L'shacher ponecha, to seek your face, ve'emso eka, and I found you. Marvadim ravadti arsi, I have adorned my bed with coverings, chatuvois etun mitzrayim, and my blankets are fitten and they're made of fine Egyptian linen. Nafti mishkovi mor aholim v'kinomoin, I've perfumed my bed with perfumes, with spices, with cinnamon. She's totally unambiguous. She spares no level of detail in her seduction. And she describes every luxury that she's prepared. And she says, Lecha nirvedoy dim ataboyker. Come, Let us be lovers until the morning. Ki ein ha ish bevesai, holach bederach meirachayk. If you're worried about being discovered by my husband, he's not home. He's gone on a very long journey. We're free to do whatever we want. Tzoror hakesef lokach biyodai. He took his purse of silver with him. He's gone on a business trip. Liyom hakeseh yavai vesai. He's only going to come back at an appointed time. I know when he's coming back. We're free. We'll be undisturbed. She's so brazen. She's so explicit. Hoylech achareha pisoim kashor el tevach yavoi. And he follows her unconsciously. He's unaware. He's seduced like an ox to the slaughter. Ad yafalach chetz kvedoi, until an arrow splits his liver. Kamaher tzipar el poch, the young simpleton, he rushes like a bird to the trap. And he doesn't realize that this is going to cost him his life. So says Shlomo HaMelech, V'atavonim shimuli, v'hakshivu le'imrefi. Listen to me, my children. Al yest el drachecha libecha, al tesa b'nzivoseha. Don't let your heart turn aside to her ways. Don't wander onto her paths. Don't even go in her direction. Don't go near her. Be careful how you position yourself. Ki rabim chalolim hipila, she has cast down many wounded, va'atzomim kol harugeha, and many strong men have been slain by her. Darchei sha'ol besa, yardais el chadrei maves, the path to the grave to her house, descending to the chambers of death. So what went wrong here? How does this young man end up with a married woman? And let's try identify a few specific points in the story, and with the help of the Mefarshim to try and understand what is the anatomy of the sin. And the first problem that we find is very casual flirting with temptation. Right at the beginning of the story, the father describes how he watched this young man, Oiver Bashuk Etzel Pino. He's just passing in the marketplace near her corner. Etzel Pino, it has a mapik K. It means it's her corner. V'derech Beisa Yitzad, he's slowly stepping towards her house. He's moving in her direction. He's not explicitly asking for temptation, but he's dancing around the edges of it. He's flirting with it. And that's what gives the Yetzirah power. The Alshach says that she would never have had the confidence or the chutzpah to grab him and kiss him that way if he hadn't inclined himself towards her. If he hadn't signaled by going to her corner and going to her house, if he hadn't shown this tiny little crack of weakness. So while technically he's just passing by and he has no intention of looking for a woman and he's not looking for trouble, he is positioning himself in her vicinity. He's putting himself in a compromised position. And that's what gives the Yetzirah the power to grab him and to kiss him and to say, let's do this. And the Alshach says that even when he goes towards a house, he still tells himself, I'm totally in control. And he rationalizes it. The Alshach says, he says, okay, maybe she'll see me and I'll see her. But there's nothing in that. What's the big deal? I'm not going to sin. I'm just looking. And it's the same way that we rationalize things sometimes. What's the big deal in what I'm doing? I'm just looking. I'm just scrolling. It's not real. It's only online. I know my limits. But the father's warning his son, don't dance with temptation. Don't hang around the edges of the things that are going to bring you down. If you stroll near the corner, whether it's physically or emotionally or digitally, we're fooling ourselves into thinking that we won't be affected. The Sichos Musa discusses the very well-known Chazal, that any time a person sins, it's because he was overpowered by what is described as Ruach Shtus. It's a spirit of insanity. It's momentary insanity. If we thought things through clearly and logically, and we weighed up the potential gains versus the potential losses, we did a cost-benefit analysis of sin, we would never sin. It's always just a Ruach Shtus, say Chazal. It's a moment of madness. For example, what this young man does here by being with a married woman, it's a ruach shtus. He momentarily loses his mind. There's no other explanation. So the Sichos Musa asks, so in that case, does that mean that we're not culpable for anything, that we're not responsible? If we're overwhelmed by a ruach shtus, by the spirit of madness, so how could we be responsible for that? It was out of our control. We were overpowered. We were overwhelmed by this ruach shtus. And he brings a mashal to answer this. He says if someone goes and stands at the edge of a cliff, maybe someone dared them, maybe they wanted to get a really good picture with an amazing view, but they stand right there at the edge of a precipice. And then suddenly there's a really, really powerful wind and they can't fight this wind, and they fall down the side of the cliff. Do we say they couldn't have helped it? With such a strong wind, they were overpowered. But he reminds us that if they hadn't positioned themselves at the edge of that cliff, the wind would not have been able to blow them over it. If they'd stood far from the cliff, then all the ruchos, all the wind in the world, would not be able to blow them over. So don't stand near the edge. Don't go near her home. The key to resisting temptation is to have strong boundaries, to keep our distance, to not put ourselves in compromised relationship situations or compromised situations online or compromised situations in the workplace. Don't go there in the first place. So that's our first problem in the story. It's just walking on those paths towards her house. And let's understand a second problem, what went wrong here. When did the story happen? It was in the twilight. It was in the evening. It was in the blackness of night. Says the Metzudah, this is because he didn't want to be seen by other people. And this is always a red flag. If you don't want someone to find out about something, if you don't want anyone to know about something, you have to ask yourself a million times why not. What's the problem with what you're doing? Sometimes, for sure, there's a very valid reason to keep something private. But it's absolutely a question we have to ask ourselves. Because shame, the shame of other people knowing, it's a very powerful tool of self-regulation. So if we feel ashamed for something to be found out, we have to ask ourselves why. What's wrong with it? It's like when the brothers wanted to kill Yosef in Sefer Bereishis, in Parshas Vayeshev, and they convened a Beis Din, and they ruled a halachic psak that Yosef deserves to be killed. It wasn't a whim. And they decided that they're going to kill him and then pretend that a wild animal had eaten him. And Yehuda jumped in and he said, why do we need to hide this? If what we're doing is correct, if we have a psak din here, if we know that what we're doing is right, then why do we have to pretend that a wild animal ate him? We should own this. If we need to hide it, it means that it's probably something we shouldn't be doing, because that shame is a moral compass. So when this young man walks towards the prostitute's home in the dark when no one can see him, that's a massive red flag that probably this is something that he shouldn't be doing. And then the next red flag in Pasuk Yudalet is she says, I just brought a shlomim sacrifice. Come and share it with me. The shlomim, the peace sacrifice, it has to be eaten with family and friends, and it has to be eaten within a limited time frame. And she's saying, this is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to partake of this food with me. And the Malbim says, Hayetzahara matchil b'mitzvah. The Yetzahara always begins with an excuse, with a pretext that this is a mitzvah. Fundamentally, we're good people. We don't want to sin. So how does the Yetzahara trap us? He tells us it's a mitzvah. He makes it seem virtuous. It's for a good cause. The dishonest deal is going to raise money for tzedakah. Or it's a mitzvah to speak this Lashon Hara. Or it's a mitzvah to publicly call out the Rav in this case. And that's another big red flag. And the other big red flag is the urgency. I have to eat the korban shlomim by a certain time. You have to come now. You can't take time to think about it and weigh up. It's urgent. It's time sensitive. And this is another classic trap. Whenever we are asked to sign on the dotted line right away or we're going to lose the deal, we know not to sign. If you can't take the time to think about it, it's such a big red flag. Why are they so worried for you to think about it? Important decisions, they have to be made with deliberation. They can't be made under a pressure of time. And then finally, this woman tries to convince you by saying, "Ein ha'ish b'veisoy holach b'derech mirachoik." The man isn't home, my husband isn't home, he's gone far away. And in the story, this is referring to her husband. But Rashi interprets this as Hashem. She says, Hashem has abandoned you. He's gone far away. What you're doing doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. But she says, L'yom ha'keseh yavoy v'esoy. He's going to come back on a specific date. The Ralbag says that L'yom ha'keseh, it's a hint to Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we say, Tikul b'chodesh shofar b'keseh l'yom chagenu. Rosh Hashanah is called Keseh. And this is a hint to the Yom HaDin. And it's a hint to the fact that ultimately we pay for our choices. You can think he's away today and he doesn't know what you're up to. And he doesn't know what's happening in his house while he's gone. But Rosh Hashanah will come and ultimately there will be accountability. You're free to make choices today. And you can go ahead and you can make a bad choice and you can go to this woman's home. But the day will come when he will return and you will have to pay. There will be judgment on that day. So let that guide your decisions. So in summary, have foresight. Don't position yourself in a place where you're going to be vulnerable to temptation. Listen to your inner voice of shame and conscience and ask yourself why you have to do this in the darkness. Don't be fooled by people who tell you that it's a mitzvah or who tell you that it's really urgent. And know that in the end, there's always accountability. Thank you for studying together in the merit for a refuah shelema for Yonina Sima bas Daphna Hinder and the wounded members of Tzahal, amongst all those who are ill amongst Klal Yisrael, sponsored by Nina and Chaim Schenker.